Good morning. I'd like to speak this morning about the goodness of God. And more specifically in the aspect of the fact that He's a just and righteous God. God is a lot of things. God is love. And we hear a lot about that, don't we? And I appreciate that. And God is also completely fair and completely just, unlike probably most of us. We get in situations and we tend to skew situations and how we deal with people. And we tend to do that based on our emotions, how they treated us, our past circumstances, our upbringing, our culture. And those things tend to skew the decisions that we make. And God's not like that. Last Sunday, we read in Psalms 103, and I'd like to just read it again, the first couple verses of Psalms 103. It says, it's a Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. My burden last Sunday was that we don't forget the benefits of the Lord. And we talked a lot about the aspect of His love, His comfort, His healing, the things that He brings to us, and that whenever we get in situations where we need those things, that we don't forget what's available to us, the things that the Lord has for us. This morning, I'd like to read these same verses again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And remind us again that it's easy for us to go through life and forget who God is. Forget the benefits of the Lord. I have been in conversations with people before, and actually caught myself doing this before, where maybe I've heard something said, and what came to my mind was, you know, that would be an accurate way to look at this situation if we didn't believe in God, or we believed that He's powerless. If we believe He's just this weak little thing. That would be the way I would feel about the situation if that's who God was. But that's not who God is. God is powerful. And He is mighty. He's also righteous. And He's love. He's just and He's fair. And so that, whenever we do things in life, we need to remember and not forget who God is. Not forget His benefits to us. When we forget His benefits to us, you know what happens? We forget His benefits, but we still remember that He's just. And so then we start doing things, well, I better do this because I don't want to go to hell. Well, I don't want to go to hell either. But you know, there's a scripture in 1 John, we won't turn there, but it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." You know that if we forget about the benefits of God, that there will be things occasionally, maybe quite often, that we will find grievous to us. Why do I have to do this again? Why do I have to go to church again? I just went. Why do I have to make peace with my neighbor? I want to argue with them. Why do I have to keep my mouth shut in this situation? I've got something I want to say. And the things that are commandments that the Lord has given to us will be grievous to us. And we may say, well, I really want to say this. I really want to do this, but I want to go to heaven, so I'm going to do the right thing. Well, if we want to, you know that that's a very miserable way to live. For us to just do all the right stuff and we don't want to do it. For us to do things that are right and it's always just painful to us. I'm only doing this because I have to. The Lord has benefits that, and if we forget about them, we're going to say, well, I don't want to do all this stuff, but I'm going to do it because I have to. I want to go to heaven, so I'm going to do the right stuff. Well, Scripture says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. And so when we forget about His benefits, we're going to not really be able to live this Scripture out. I've talked about this before, but I'd like to read this again. Scripture in Matthew 25, talking about the people with the talents. I'd like to talk about these both ends of the spectrum here. This guy, Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a man that had a bunch of servants. And he had to go to a far country. He was going to be gone a long time. And he had things that he wanted to be taken care of while he was gone. And so he gave his servants different amounts of things. The reason he gave them different amounts was because they were at different places and have different abilities in life. He didn't do it because he favored some people more than he favored others. He did it because of he did it because it was the very best thing for him to do in the circumstance. So in the 16th verse, Matthew 25 and 16, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 and went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Now, I don't know how you read this scripture, but I detect some enthusiasm. Lord, look what I've done. I brought this, and I wonder if before the master came, he was excited and thought, you know, I didn't know if I could do this. I figured maybe I'd get a 10% return on my master's money. This has been fun. I got all this. I didn't get no 10% return or a 20 or 30% return. I didn't get a 50% return. I got 100% return. And I'm excited because this master, I wonder what he thinks I'm going to have. Maybe he thinks I'm going to have another talent to give him besides the 5 he gave me. That'd be 20%. That's a real good return. Here in, I don't know how long the master was gone. But here in America, you can invest your money and 30% is a really, really good rate of return. It's with investments, a high risk. 30% falls in the category of high risk investments. You can get 30% of return on some money, but you stand to lose it all. It's high risk. You can get 8 to 10% return, and it's low risk. Well, this guy made 100%, and I don't know how long it was. Maybe it was the course of several years, so the annual percentage wouldn't have been all that much then if it was. But he came, and he was excited, and he said, Lord, I doubled your money. And the other guy that had 2 said, hey, Lord, I doubled your money. And they didn't come with any kind of a chip on their shoulder and saying, you know, you don't deserve it, but this is what I've got for you. I hope you like it. Maybe you ought to give me some back because really all you gave me was 5. And he said, no, Lord, here's 10. I brought you 10. None of this isn't fair stuff and all that. And then the other guy, he came and he said, you gave me a talent. I just want you to know I didn't waste any of it. I didn't steal it. I didn't lose it. Here it is. It's so audacious of him. He said, here it is. And the reason that you don't have 2 like these other fools, these other guys, they came, one brought you 4 and the other one brought you 10. I don't know why they worked so hard because you're not the kind of man that deserves that kind of a thing. You know what he did? He forgot his master's benefits. He forgot. And he said, There's no reason why I should work because you're the kind of man I would, if I did, if I put forth the effort, you know what was, you know what really is audacious to me, what is something to me about this, is because he watched, as far as I can tell, he watched the other guys come and give their results and heard the master say, "Well done, you're going to get a reward." I wonder if he sat there thinking, "Hey, yeah, right. He's probably going to get a gift card to Cracker Barrel for $25. You know, no, I know they didn't have Cracker Barrel, but you know what I'm saying? He's probably going to get peanuts for it. And then maybe his mind went back and he thought, you know, these guys over here were slaving away, trying to make the master happy. And I got to go fishing, and I got to enjoy life, and I've had all this, and I still was able to keep my master's money. Well, here you go. Here it is. This is what you deserve. I didn't steal it. You can't accuse me of wasting it." He had a wrong idea, and I've brought this out before, but he had a completely wrong idea about who the Lord was, about who the master was. He forgot. These other guys didn't forget. You know, I believe that we can serve the Lord with the thought that, and we do, people do this all the time. I hope nobody here does this. But we can serve the Lord with the thought of, you know what? It's not worth it for me to put this much effort into serving the Lord. It's not worth it. Not going to get my return. If I do, I'm going to give up something that I really want. And the Lord's not going to replace it with anything better. And we can have that mentality. And then, and we can say, you know, I know the Lord's gonna, I gotta toe the line. The Lord's gonna send me to hell if I don't. And so I'm gonna act right. Might not look quite so right inside, but I'm gonna act right. I'm gonna grit my teeth and I'm gonna speak right. You know, the Lord has something a lot better than that in life for us. There are times when, yes, we have to overcome our flesh and we have to overcome temptation because we have our flesh to contend with. But you know that it's a lot easier to overcome our flesh and to do the right things and say the right things when we know how good the Lord's been, when we don't forget His benefits, and there's something in us that says, "But I want to do the right thing because this is what makes the Lord happy." The love of God is that we obey His commandments. But it doesn't stop there. It says that His commandments aren't grievous to us. Well, why aren't they grievous? Because we haven't forgotten the Lord's benefits. Do you know that if there weren't any benefits, then there'd be no scripture saying not to forget them? If there weren't good things that the Lord has done, can any of you here say this morning, "Well, I don't know what the Lord's done for me"? I heard that one time from a person. A shocking thing to say. Somebody that had been faithful at attending church, and one day this person had enough. I was in service with them. I heard this with my own ears. One day this person had enough. And this person said, "Well, I don't know why I keep coming here. The Lord doesn't ever do anything for me. The Lord doesn't ever answer my prayers. And I'm leaving." And they got up and walked right out the door. I don't remember what the exact wording was, but that was the gist. That was the gist of it. Mom was there. Mom remembers this. And you know, the Lord does not have a life for us where you better toe the line or you're going to go to hell. The Lord, Jesus said, "I came that they might have abundant life." They might have life and they might have it more abundantly. That's what He came for. That's what he came to give us. That's what he came to bring us. He didn't come to bring us a life of sorrow and heartache with no healing. He came to bring us a life of good things. The scripture says, "Bless the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." That doesn't mean that we're not going to have sorrow. We covered this last Sunday. But it means that in everything that the Lord brings us, the sorrow and everything, it's going to work for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, as it says. And so, I'd like to read a few verses. Let's just start in 2 Chronicles, the 19th chapter. I'd like to read some instructions that Jehoshaphat gave to the judges. King Jehoshaphat was he was a pretty good king. He was not perfect, but he did a pretty good job through his reign. He kind of had the fault of it was mentioned a while ago in the Sunday school that it's a real tendency to try to, you want everybody to like you. It's human. Jehoshaphat had this tendency. He loved to make leagues with the wicked kings of Israel that were dangerous. And he would go and he really wanted to be friends with them. I imagine that this is just conjecture, but I imagine that he was just a real good, easy to get along with guy. One of these real congenial people, nice, personable, pleasant personality, lots of friends. But he did some things right. He did a lot of things right. In 2 Chronicles 19:4, says that Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, "Take heed what you do. For ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts." And there are several scriptures in the Bible about the Lord not being a respecter of persons. I'll just read one more. It's in Colossians 3, and we'll read this, but I want to come back to Colossians 3 later. It said, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." So there are several thoughts that I want to get out of these passages of Scripture this morning. One is that if you're worried that you won't be recommended, if you're worried that all this good I'm doing, all the effort that I put forth, or maybe all the effort that I feel like the Lord wants me to put forth, and don't really want to do it because I don't feel like the Lord, I don't feel like I'll have anything to show for it. Do you know the Lord is the scripture, his word says that the Lord, there is no respect of persons, no respecter of persons. Do you know that you can look at somebody and think, wow, the Lord has just blessed them with understanding, and the Lord, it just walks with them, and they're so spiritual, and I wish I could be like that, but it never can. Do you know that you can be as spiritual as you want to be? You can walk as close to the Lord as you want to walk. The Lord is not going to make it easier for somebody to be spiritual than he is for you. He's going to give you the same opportunity, he's going to extend his hand to you the same as he does to everyone else, and you'll be able, you know, he might not give you the same gifts, but he might give you some other gifts. The scripture says there's diversity of gifts, there's different operations. It doesn't mean that the Lord is a respecter of persons. He doesn't love anybody more than he loves you. Do you know that? Do you know that the Lord loves you exactly the same as he loves everyone else? Do you know that the Lord will be fair and just and righteous with you? And you may think, I've got these problems. The Lord knows that. And you can think, you know, I have this upbringing and I'm hurt because of this upbringing and I've got... Do you know that the Lord will be absolutely fair and righteous to you? And take that into consideration when you stand before Him at the judgment. We as people have a hard time doing that. When we look at other people, we think, well, why can't they just get it? Why can't they get it? Why can't they understand this? And then we might do a little psychology and dig a little bit into their background. And we might, oh, well, they were hurt by this. And then you know what we do? If we give them a pass, then we stick it to the person that hurt them. How far back do you want to go? People that get hurt tend to hurt other people. And it goes from generation to generation. You never, when you see something, a trauma or something in a person's life, ways that they act because of things that happen to them, you don't know how many generations that goes back. But the Lord can see it all. And He takes it all into consideration. And when we die, the Lord will be absolutely fair and just in His decisions. And we can take hold of that. We can take hold of it for ourselves, and we can take hold of it when we think about our loved ones. I've had people, I have sat at the bedside of several that were dying. And I knew that they were about out of here. And in every one of them that were, several of them were close to me. And I remember thinking, the devil would come and try to torment my mind with thoughts. What if they're really not ready? What if they're not going to make it? What if we just thought they were ready? And I've had that happen several times, even more recently with my dad. And you know what comforted me? Was the thought that the Lord... You know what the scripture the Lord gave to me? Was actually when the story that Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus. And Abraham looked at that rich man that didn't make it. And you know, and we talked about this in Wednesday night Bible study a few weeks ago. You know, if I went... And I could see right now, if I could see somebody, one of my loved ones that didn't make it, and I could see what Abraham saw, I don't think I could take it. I don't think I could stand it. I don't want to pull him out of there. But Abraham, he had an understanding. I believe when we get over there, we get an understanding of God's plan and His righteousness and His justice more than we've ever had. Abraham looked at that man and he realized, he said, you're here and you had every opportunity. His understanding was that it was absolutely fair and right for him to be there. The understanding that Abraham had was that God was absolutely fair and just in His judgment. Do you know that that is a comforting thing? That we know when our loved ones pass away, and when we pass away, that God is going to be absolutely fair and righteous in His judgment. I believe that the reality of hell and how bad it is not a testimony to the severity and judgment of God, but it's a testimony actually of His righteousness and His love. And I'll tell you why. Because the scripture says, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. That's 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. When we die, everyone that does not make it, it's not going to be because God selected a few and said, I'm going to extend my mercy to you. You know, the reality of hell and the awfulness of it is a result of us living with the availability and the promise of the great reward of heaven, and living in the presence of good, of the goodness of God, and receiving His benefits, and receiving His invitation, and being under His convictions, and being influenced by His Spirit, and after all that, consciously turning from it and saying, I don't want any of it. Don't want the reward. I want it, but not bad enough to turn. I don't want to live right. I don't want to live for God. I don't want to do anything He wants me to do, because He's a hard man. Because there's, I don't feel like it's, I'm not going to get a fair shake out of life. And so I'm not going to live that way. I believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to look at the splendor and the rewards and the companionship that we're going to have there, the intimacy with Jesus Christ, with God, the relationship, the awesomeness of knowing God and His plan and everything. I can't even describe it to you. I don't even understand it myself. And we, I'll say this, everyone who goes to hell is going to absolutely deserve their place there. No one who goes to heaven is going to deserve the reward they get there. Nobody's going to be worthy. Nobody is going to be able to say, well, I just got my just, I lived good. What do you think your good life is worth when you get to the end? $20? $100? I don't know what you think it's worth this morning, what you do because it's right, but it is not worth the splendor and the glory that you're going to see. I think that that's one reason that hell is so bad, is because, well, listen to this verse in Hebrews 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? So what about this guy that came back with the one talent and said, well, this is all you deserve and this is all you get? Can I read you some scriptures? I'd like to just read you a few verses. We won't turn to these. I want to read a bunch of them here. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What about 1 John 1 and 9? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My dad's mother lived, she died when I was 15 years old. And most of my life that I remember, she didn't feel like she could be saved. She didn't feel like that God would save her. And I remember Dad would talk to her and talk to her and say, Mother, you can be saved. And I remember when I was a teenager, I think I was about 13 or 14, I had a dream one night and I came and I called my mom. It was in the middle of the night. And it scared me. It woke me up. And I was so scared. And I dreamed that my grandma had come to visit us. And she couldn't speak. I saw her coming down the sidewalk. I said, Grandma, I didn't know you were coming. And she couldn't even speak. She just, when she tried to speak, she'd like make this little clicking noise. And she held out her hands. And they were chained. She had chains all over, just wrapped around her hands. And it scared me so bad. And she looked at me, and I, this look, there was like this look of, of longing. I wish it was different, but it's not. I've got chains on my hands that I called my mom in the middle of the night, and mom said, "Well, son, grandma does have chains on her hands because she doesn't believe that she can be saved. And she can. And Jesus is holding it out to her. And she won't take it." You know, that's the way God is this morning. He holds the good things out to us. He's not going to force us to take them. Whether it's salvation or all the different benefits. You know that when we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, He holds something better out to us. "I wish you'd just take this," but He's not going to make you take it. You can keep that unforgiveness in there if you want to. He's not going to make you take it because He's a just God and He's a gentleman. And He respects your choice. My Uncle Lauren, for a long time, wouldn't get saved. He had tried to live saved at one time. And then when he tried to live saved, he tried to live so hard and so rigid that he couldn't even do it. It was something, he held himself to a standard he couldn't even live to. And so he threw it all away and said, there's nothing to it. Can't do it. And one day his daughter got killed in a car accident. And shortly after that, he wanted to be saved, but he didn't know how that he could be saved. And this was the scripture that he got a hold of. If we confess our sins, you know, I don't really know who all this is for this morning, but if you've done dumb stuff and your life is just all in a mess and you can't even see the end of it, you can't see how to get out of it, and if it's all in tangles, you know that's the Lord's job to straighten out the tangles. It's not yours. You might not have any answers. The Lord can work. It says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Do we deserve it? No, we don't deserve it. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so thank God we can be a mess one day and have a clean slate the next day. This is the kind of God that we serve. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. In Matthew 7, it says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give" what? Good things. Good things, not bad things, not unpleasant things. Jesus said, if you come and take my yoke upon you, my yoke's easy. And my burden's light. Every other yoke isn't easy. If you don't have Christ's yoke on you, you've got a yoke. Don't think that you're free if you don't have Christ's yoke on you. You're not. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." That includes everyone. Everyone that is not under Christ's yoke. Christ gave an open invitation. That one verse destroys the idea that God selected a few to be saved. The Lord gave us all an opportunity. He invited us to come. "All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There are so many scriptures. I just wrote these scriptures down. Proverbs 19 and 17 says, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord." Did you know that? Did you know that scripture was in there? I remember one time, this is one time that I was just really getting to know the Lord, and I hadn't been saved for all that long, and I felt like the Lord called me to do something for somebody. And so I did, and it was really, I had to go out of my way to do it. And it was kind of a pain. And the Lord gave me this scripture He that hath pity on the poor live. Actually, it was my Uncle Philip, he saw me doing this. I think he gave the scripture to me. He said, listen, this is what the Lord is not unrighteous. If you put yourself out for the Lord, you do things for the Lord, you sacrifice for the Lord, you're going to get paid back. And it's not just going to be the same amount. He's going to give back to you. You know, I don't want to preach this morning that's why you want to serve the Lord, because you're going to get, you know, you put in, sow a seed, reap a harvest. That's what you hear in a lot of what we call the prosperity gospel. That's not what I want to preach this morning. But what I want to preach is that the Lord is a good God. And He's fair and He's just. He's not going to bless somebody else more than He blesses you for the same amount of effort. He's not going to give somebody the keys to spirituality and not give them to you. He's not going to give somebody else good things and withhold them from you. There's no respect of persons. You can be as spiritual as you want to be. You can be as close to the Lord as you want to be. You help people. There are so many verses that bring this out. Cast your bread upon the water. You'll find it after many days. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. And so I helped this person. And you know, it was right after that. I don't know if the Lord... This hasn't happened every time just immediately, and it won't for you either. But this one time, I did this for this person. And it's like the Lord just poured out this blessing and that blessing. It was temporal stuff. And it's not always temporal stuff. But it was temporal stuff. I remember I needed some glasses. I needed some new glasses. And the Lord helped me to find such a good deal on some glasses. I know this seems like a small thing, but this is back in the time that we poured out the change jar one time to make the house payment. And so that was big stuff back then. And so the Lord helped us to do it. And I'll just tell you what some of the stuff was. I had to go, part of what I had to do involved making a long trip in my truck. And I was actually going to make the trip anyway, but my truck was expensive to take it. But I just remember I was astounded because of the fuel mileage I got on that trip. And I was helping this person. And I remember just shaking my head, thinking, what's going on here? I don't get this kind of mileage in my truck. I got astounding diesel mileage. And then I found that I needed glasses. I found the good deal. And then that same week, somebody was giving away a hot tub, and it was really nice. And I got it for free, and we hooked it up, and we enjoyed it. It was all in that one week. And I thought, well, boy, this is a pretty good return. This makes me want to do more. But you know, the Lord is just—he's just so good to us. I feel like that a lot of times we withhold ourselves from doing things and doing the things that the Lord wants us to do because we feel like this guy in Matthew 25. Well, I'm not going to get anything back anyway. Why should I do it? Why should I go the extra mile? Why should I do this? Scripture says that His commandments are not grievous, and they're only grievous to people that forget the benefits of the Lord. So I want to encourage you not to do it. Now, I want to read a very interesting scripture. I know I'm kind of running long, so please forgive me, but I'm not quite finished yet. I want to read a few more verses here. Luke 12 and 37. Maybe I'm not going to really take the time to turn to all these for the sake of time, because I want to get these out this morning. He said, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching." Listen to what this says that the Lord does. "Verily I say unto you," or truly, Jesus was saying, listen, truly, I declare to you, this is what's going to happen, that He shall gird Himself. Who will? The Lord of all. "He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." Can you think about when we get to heaven, what it's going to be like? you don't even know. You can't comprehend. But I want to tell you, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss heaven. I don't want to miss seeing those that I miss. I don't want to miss seeing Jesus. I don't want to miss seeing God, my Heavenly Father. And then when I get there, He's going to look at me and say, "Well done. This is yours." And He's going to give me blessings. And it said, I don't know what you think about this verse, what the Lord's actually going to do, but He said, "He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to Me and will come forth and serve them." So you can take that however the Holy Spirit leads you on that. But I'd like to go back to Colossians 3. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." I think about my grandpa, Brother Leslie. I don't know how, maybe not all of you knew him. But to me, he was a prime example of somebody that followed this verse. It was like, to him, it was like nothing else mattered. If he got offended or somebody said something to him that might offend him, or he had a physical difficulty or a financial difficulty. Papa was not a rich man. He was actually a very poor man. And it was like that money and his car and his house, it was like it wasn't even a factor in his decisions. He would let go of things so fast. I never saw anything like it. He would just exemplify that. And he was so quick to forgive. And he was so quick to give the benefit of the doubt. Never heard him express frustration about other people except when they weren't following the Word of God. And he was concerned about them and he wanted them to. That was really the only time. I never heard any personal grievances. I never heard, not one time, him ever saying, "You know, they did me wrong. They cheated me." And he was just so quick. If you read down in Colossians 3, where it says, "Set your affections on things above." Listen to what it says in the 13th verse. Sometimes I think we completely forget this verse is in the Bible. It says, "Forbearing one another." That means long-suffering with each other. "And forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Why? Why should we do that? Because the Lord has something better. Because He has better things for it. You know, if you hold unforgiveness in your heart, that the Lord can't pour out the blessings like He wants to. You might miss heaven over it. We better forgive. We've got to do those things. And I feel like that forgiveness in our hearts should just be automatic. Why do we struggle so much with holding things against people? We say, "Well, this is tough. This is hard. This is, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." See, if we have that in our mind and we know what the Lord's done for us and we know the blessings of the Lord and we know what the Lord has for us, then maybe we wouldn't take so long and struggle with our attitudes against different people and hold these things, grudges and things. You know, Paul said in the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said, "Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another." He said, "Why do you not rather take wrong? Why would it even be a consideration? Why would you rather not suffer yourselves to be defrauded?" In other words, why would not laying down and suffering for the name of Jesus Christ, why wouldn't that be better? Tell me a good reason why that wouldn't be better. It's like, is this something you even have to think about? I can't believe that you're making this decision like this. Why would you live this way? Don't you realize that Jesus Christ and His gospel, He's got some better things for you, got something better. It's not a question of, oh, I better do this or I'm going to get in trouble. No, Paul said, why would you live this? Why would, I think there's another place where, where he said, why would you turn to the beggarly elements of this world? And he was talking about observing things in the Jewish law there. You can apply the same thing to other things. Why would you turn to the beggarly trinkets of unforgiveness, bad attitudes, harboring things in your heart? Why would you do that? You never had anything better in life from the Lord than that? Yes, it feels a little bit good to the flesh to hold those things in our hearts. But the Lord has better things for us. You know, I've been on jobs before where I had the promise of, if I get done with this job, there's been jobs before where I could see I was going to make a really good amount of money at the end of it. And then sometimes on those jobs, I found out that I had to throw in some of my own materials on the job. Maybe, you know, $50 worth of parts. I remember I used to do countertops, and it was so often I had to go and buy a bunch of plumbing parts. And part of me said, why do I have to do that? This is just a drudgery. And I got to thinking, you know what? If the bottom line here is that I'm making a whole lot more than I used to make with these other jobs over here. And so when I take it in all into consideration, I need to forget about if I start griping about this, I may lose the contract. They'll say, well, there's somebody else that will be happy to throw in their own materials and make the same profit margin that you're making. And so I started to realize, you know what? I just need to be quiet. I'm making great money here. I'm going to do this job. I'm going to throw in some of my own materials. You know that that's the same way with living for the Lord. There are times you're going to get a little bit of skin in the game where you're going to have to bite the bullet and say some things and do some things that are painful for your flesh. And the Lord doesn't mind that. Because He has waiting for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And it's not just over there. He has blessings for us in this life. I feel sorry. Do you know that to live right, or I think the most miserable life that you can live is to try to live saved without actually being saved, or to try to do all the right things without actually being right in your heart. You know, in Philippians 3, Paul was talking about people that walked according to the earth. They set their affections on things of the earth. He said, brethren, 3:17 of Philippians, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk, so as you have us for an example, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. What does that mean? That means that that was what was important to them. That was where their focus was. That was where their affections was. Whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven. It's not here. I'm not doing things with an expectation of my reward being here. Jesus did say, men are going to give into your bosom. And He said that anybody that has given of themselves will receive 100-fold in this lifetime and in the lifetime to come. And so we know that the Lord will have abundant blessings for us. And I can tell you, I can attest to that. It's been that way for me. Every time that I have yielded to the Lord has blessed me and given me things that were better than the things that I let go. But Paul said, our conversation is in heaven. I've set my anchor over there. It's not over here. Not going to hold any grudges. You know that Jesus said, there's a few scriptures that people have gotten hung up on. Jesus said, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. You know that that is, and I've heard people say, well, I don't have to forgive unless he comes and asks forgiveness. If he doesn't humble his heart and come to me and ask forgiveness, then I don't have to forgive. That's false. What this scripture is talking about is reconciliation of relationships between people. Jesus also said, and when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. I want the Lord to forgive my trespasses. I want the Lord to forgive the mistakes that I make, the faults, the things that I come up short in. I want Him to do that. And so, because I want Him to do that, and because I love the Lord, there's not a chance that I'm going to hold something against somebody and say, well, I'm not going to forgive him until he comes and speaks to me about it. All that that scripture is talking about is restoring a fellowship between people. Sometimes you're never going to have people that come and apologize for things that they did and things that they really did. And you're going to have to, you might not be able to be reconciled to them. You might not even be able to be at peace with them. But you have the responsibility of saying, I forgive them in my heart. I will not harbor a bad attitude. I know what they did was wrong. But if I have the opportunity to help them get to heaven, I will. May the Lord help us today. That was my thought for this morning. You pray for me.